I tell you to please be seated, but you're ahead of me on that one. We're going to have two splits today, and for our first split, Mr. Floyd Lee.
Good afternoon, brethren. What a beautiful day it is to have everybody here, too, for the speech club. What a great opportunity for the youth to learn the art of speech and to grow closer to one another. It's a wonderful club. First, I wanted to bring this up here because who's that? Oh, that's me. I want to talk to myself more than anybody else up here, I believe. I need to be talking to myself first and foremost. Hopefully it stays up here and doesn't break in the ugly mug that I have. You know, I think everybody sitting here had a few hopes and desires growing up, and one of mine was to have my own family. And the reason for having my own family was I wanted to grow old with someone and to spend the rest of my life with. You know, that's God's purpose while we're here on earth, is to be in His family. You know, He's calling many sons and daughters to glory and to be Christ's brethren. You know, we are being tested now. This is the testing ground. Let's go to Matthew 7, 13 through 14, please. Matthew 7, 13 through 14. See what it has to say. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." So I want to ask, you know, what gate are you entering by? Am I entering by? Is it the gate that's wide that leads to destruction, or the gate that is narrow that leads to life? We need to be thinking about that. God is watching us in everything we do, each and every day of our life. You know, how are we living our lives? Nothing is hidden from God. What God has in store for His family is going to be beyond our imagination. We don't even scratch the surface. It's going to be so amazing. What He has and offers His family is going to be astounding. It's a gift that He wants to share. So my question for you today, for me, are you becoming a child of God? I've come up with 6 steps in becoming a child of God. There's other steps. These are the 6 that I have thought of. The first step in becoming a child of God is we have to be called by God. You know, God opens our minds to His truth. He does the calling, not us. Only through God can we find truth and eternal life. Do we love our calling? Are we thankful for it each and every day? Do we thank God for what He has done for us to open our eyes to see? It's the greatest treasure on earth is our calling. Like I said, we can't take it for granted. Let's go to John 15, 15 through 19, please. John 15, 15 through 19. And it says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, then the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Without God choosing us, we cannot on our own understand His truth and way of life. You know, the world hated Jesus Christ, so if we are not of this world, it's going to hate us. That's something that should be actually not astounding to us, that it should be actually normal for us to know that. God saves us through His holy calling, and there is a purpose for each and every one of us. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 9, please. 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 9. Mr. Lacoste, take note. Right side is mine. And if you want, I'll drink from the left side too. So 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 9. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Through the grace of God, he is the one who calls us and opens our eyes to see his truth. That's the first step in becoming a child of God. The second step is we must repent and be baptized to be a child of God. We must repent and be baptized to be a child of God. We have to see our faults, and then we have to turn from them and head in a new direction. That's towards God. John 3:5, please. John 3:5. So Jesus answered, "Most surely I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So we must be baptized. And before baptism, we have to repent. After baptism, we are given the Holy Spirit to help us discern justly. It helps us to understand God's truth. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 16, please. 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 16. And it says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in man? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can we know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Through repentance and baptism, God gives us the Holy Spirit, like I say, to discern right from wrong and to know his truth. Without that, we wouldn't know the truth. So, with that, we have to be living it. And without living it, it really doesn't amount to much. So the second step is to repent and be baptized. The third step in becoming a child of God, we must be as a little child. We must be as a little child. What did Christ mean by this exactly? Let's go to Matthew 18, 1 through 5 and read what Christ said. Matthew 18, 1 through 5. Matthew 18, 1 through 5. "At the time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little children, you will by no means enter in the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me.'" So, become a little child. Does that mean not to be mature in our thinking? Of course not. We have to be mature in our thinking. Let's see what 1 Corinthians 14:20 says about our thinking and if we should be mature or not. 1 Corinthians 14:20. This is Paul. Paul says, "Brethren, do not be children in understanding, however, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature." So when it comes to malice and to get back at someone, be as babes. We don't want to be fighting amongst ourselves, but be mature in our understanding. Now, being as a little child, what does that mean? To me, it means to be teachable, be wanting to learn, looking to God for guidance. Since God does know best, are we following His direction and where He's taking us? We need to be willing to yield, not our will, but God's will. We need to take correction. Not only take it, but to put it in practice. And God corrects those who He loves, so we shouldn't get upset when we're corrected, but to see our faults and to change from them. And to be as a little child, we know that God is our provider. We don't look to ourselves and think, oh, look what I've done. What have I've accomplished myself? We know that it all comes from God, that He is the comforter. How comforting is it to know that God, if God is for us, who can be against us? No one. And God will fight our battles for us. As a little child, we should trust in Him like we do our parents. We seek shelter from them. We go to them when we are hurting. Well, not just at hurting, but we want to be next to them because they protect us. We should feel that way and know that God does the same. You know, God does know best. You know, with our human thinking, we might think, oh, you know, I really want this or I should do this. But if we seek counsel from God, that might not be the best thing for us. And I think one of the most important things of being a child, we must humble ourselves before God because God hates pride. So the third step was we must be as a little child. The fourth step in becoming a child of God is we must overcome this world. We must overcome this world. Paul's writing, what does he tell us to be overcomers? Let's go to 1 John 2:12. And I got to check this mirror, make sure I'm looking at it and know that I'm speaking to myself here, because honestly, I don't have a right to be up here in a way, because I know who I am and what I do. So I'm speaking to myself first and foremost. Let's go to 1 John 2:12, and then we're going to jump to 15:17. So Paul says, "I write to you, little children." See, even he refers to us as little children. "Because your sins are forgiven forgiven for your namesake," or his namesake, excuse me, 15:17 now. Drop down to 15:17. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." You know, growing up, it took me a little while, honestly, to realize this. You know, when you're young, you think you're invincible, that you'll live forever. I was once there. A lot of us, all of us were once there, especially the older brethren. So if you think that you're invincible, think again, because as I get older, I see how I have changed physically, and we are temporary in every way. So we need to be overcoming this world. It may look enticing, but the ways of this world ends in destruction. You know, Satan knows what he's doing, and if it didn't look good, we wouldn't want to do it. But there is a price to pay if we give in to sin. Let's go to Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5, please. Ephesians Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. And it says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." So, you know, we can't use our own reasoning because it's full of human nature. We can't fool ourselves in thinking that if we, you know, live for a season in sin or whatever, or this world, or take advantage of, we say advantage, of the things that this world has to offer, well, there's price to pay for some of those things if they're not in accordance to God's will. You know, it's what goes against human nature, too, is it's God's will, not our will. That's where Lucifer went wrong. He thought he was above God's thinking and wanted to be God himself. So say no to the pools of this world. It's not easy. You know, it's swimming upstream. It's not swimming with downstream with the rest of all the little fishies and the rest of the world. We got to swim upstream. And being a Christian takes work. But there's a lot of blessings to being a Christian too. So we need to think about what we can do and the blessings that we will have to be a Christian and to live God's way of life. There's more joy to be found in that way of life, because the other way of life, the world's way of life, brings despair and emptiness. So we must protect our hearts and minds, and don't allow wrong thoughts to creep in, because with those thoughts creeping in, they can become actions. So we don't allow ourselves to look or to watch or to hear certain things, because as Mr. Armstrong said, garbage in, garbage out, and that is so true. So you have to protect your minds and your thoughts, and don't think you can fool around with the fire, because, well, you're going to get burnt. That's simply said. We need to fight the good fight. We need to know our adversary, because he knows our weaknesses better than we do, because a lot of times we don't face our weaknesses. We don't want to admit our weaknesses, but he knows them, so he's going to work on them. He tries to plant seeds where he may, but don't give them root. You know, to be tempted, because all of us are tempted, is not a sin. It's giving in to those temptations is a sin. So don't let those seeds be planted. Flee sin. So don't let him in. He's like a door-to-door salesman. Anybody home? Is anybody listening? Because he wants to get your attention. And once he gets your attention, then he works his little finagling and works his way in. So we can't allow him to give him a time of day. And that's easy said than it is to be done. But I'm speaking to myself too, of course. You know, he's like a fisherman. And when you're fishing, depends on what lure you're using, right? If it doesn't look enticing to those fish, you're not going to catch much. So he makes sure it looks really good. So we have to make sure that we turn in the other direction and don't fool ourselves. You know, maturity is when we understand this and ask God for the strength to help us to overcome. Because if we rely on ourselves, we're going to fail every time. So if God, which he will, give you the strength to overcome if you ask him, and we need to be asking him. Because we need help from God our Father, that's for sure, to overcome this world. So the fourth point was we must overcome this world to be one of God's children. The fifth point, how do we overcome this world? Well, by building godly character in our life. That's the fifth point, by building godly character in our life. He expects us to build his character within us. You know, when people notice us, do they see that there's something different about us? I hope so. And what is it? Is it something special? Do you live what you preach? And hopefully we're preaching. Hopefully I'm preaching every day. By our actions, we don't swear, we don't talk dirty, we don't do these things. We're different. And people, they may not say it, but I think a lot of people admire that. And they want to know, why? Why is that? And it's hopefully all of us have chances to spread the gospel. When people inquire of us different questions, we're ready with an answer. So building godly character, who do we imitate? That's Christ. Christ imitated his Father, and we must imitate Christ, our elder brother, to build godly character. You know, it is important to take on our Father's characteristics. Do you think God, you know, we look like your parents, we talk like your parents, hopefully, in all the good ways. You know, we act, walk, talk, look. Did that just happen by chance? No, that didn't just happen by chance. God created that. Why did he create that? Because it is, this is my opinion, what I believe, it is so important that we emulate him, and he wants to act like him. We are made in his image. Is that physical appearance, or is that more like to develop the mind of him and his son Jesus Christ and how we act and who we are and our character? That's what I believe. And God, that is so important. God wants that in his family. So how do we imitate our brother Jesus Christ? What are some of the characteristics of God? Let's go to Galatians 5, 22 through 23, the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Let's see what the fruits of the Spirit are. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And love, we are supposed to love God first, and our neighbors, and our enemies before ourselves. The next fruit is joy. We need to be joyful and thankful for all things. That's another characteristic of Jesus Christ and God Almighty. We need to have peace in our lives. That's the next fruit. We should be at peace and be a peacemaker with our fellow man. We need to be long-suffering. Be patient during the times of trial. That's another characteristic. We need to have kindness in our lives. And kindness is being thoughtful and caring for others. Another fruit is goodness. That means to be morally excellent and admirable. Another fruit is faithfulness, assurance, and hope of things not yet seen. Another characteristic is gentleness. Be kind-hearted and even-tempered. Another fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And this world is out of control, isn't it? There's no self-control at all going on around us, it doesn't seem like. That is the ability to control our attitudes, emotions, and desires. And it says, against such there is no law. So, when God sees us, does he see these attributes, these traits in us? These are some important character traits we need to be incorporating in our lives. A part of God's character is the desire of having a loving family. So the sixth step into becoming a child of God, this is how I envision it. It's like dangling a carrot out in front of you. Keep your eyes on that carrot. That would, hopefully the fan, see what it says. God's kingdom, our family and his kingdom. That's the sixth step in becoming one of God's children. So it's like having a carrot out in front of you. You know, oh, it looks good. That should be on our minds first and foremost every day of our lives. That's where we're going. That's what we want more than anything in our lives. So we need to be looking towards His kingdom and be one of His sons and daughters. Is that what's on our mind? I say that's what should be on my mind every day of my life. Does that look a little corny with a fish pole or no? So the sixth step in becoming a child of God is to be a part of God's family and His kingdom. That is the purpose for our existence here on earth. God wants and will have a loving, close-knit family. So I want to ask you a question. What is in the forefront of your mind daily? What is your goal in life? You know, let's face it, there's never enough time in a day to take care of everyday's life worries. I know, it seems like we're always busy, me and my wife, always going, always on the run, always doing things. But guess who else knows that more than we know that? Satan. He knows this all too well. He takes advantage of that. Do we give God the time that He rightly deserves? I'm guilty of that. I need to improve in that area. And Satan wants to occupy our time, like I say, and not leave any time for God. Another question I have is, where are you laying up your treasure? Is it in God's kingdom, in His family? Or is it material possessions here and now, the rat race, always working, trying to make a dollar? Is that where you put your material possessions, lay up your treasure at? That's fleeting. That's not going to last. Do you and I long for God's kingdom? Are we laying up the treasure up in heaven? Is it what we want more than anything? Let's go to Revelation. This is my favorite scriptures in the Bible, right here. Revelation 21, 4 through 7. Revelation 21, 4 through 7. I ask again, is this what we want more than anything? What does it say? And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then He who sat on a throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What does that sound like to you? Does that sound good? Great? Is that what you want? We should want to be a part of God's family more than anything. That is the most important goal in our lives. Everything else is fleeting and passes away. Are we teaching our children this? I mean, that's what God wants. If we truly love our children more than ourselves, what do we want for ourselves? We want God's kingdom. So if we want God's kingdom ourselves, what's the most important thing in life? That is, what do we want for our children more than anything in this life, because it's all passing away? God's kingdom. We need to be teaching them God's kingdom. This is a quote from Teddy Roosevelt. A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. Now, college education is worth a lot, but even our president knew that the knowledge of God's holy word is way more important. So we need to instill in them the want and the desire to have a relationship with God. That is the greatest gift we can give our children. If that's our goal, like I say, it should be for them too. So knowing the despair this world is in and all the broken families, God is offering an opportunity to his first fruits, as of now, to be kings and priests. Let's see here. Of course, getting messed up here a little bit. In his family, we need to be blameless, spotless, well-pleasing to God. So I leave you with this question again. Are you becoming a child of God? I don't want to forget this.